Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 through 6. You can follow along in your pew Bible on page 594. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Scripture lesson comes to us from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. Who are we? Is one question. But the next question is even more important, I think. Are we appropriating our identity in Christ? Are we living our lives so that others can see our identity in Christ? Many Christians gain their identity more from the family background, even from their work or other human relations, gather their identity more from that than they do from who they are in Christ. Too many young people gain their identity from the latest fashions or trends or popular expectations of their peers. It's no wonder that Paul emphasized throughout his writing that we are in Christ. Could it be that one of the greatest problems facing Christians today revolve around an identity crisis? Many believers are not growing in Christ or experiencing the fruit because somehow they have lost or perhaps never realized or appropriated their identity in Christ. In order to prevent Christians from becoming zombies who walk around with no clear sense of their identity, it is essential to define who we are in Christ. The dilemma of an unclear sense of personal identity was illustrated by an incident in the life of the famous German philosopher Schleiermacher. He did much to shape the progress of modern thought. But the story is told that one day, as an old man, he was sitting on a park bench, and a policeman, thinking that he was a vagrant, came over and shook him and asked, "Who are you?" And Schleiermacher replied, sadly, "I wish I knew." Can you answer that question? Who are you? We who are in Christ, those who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, are blessed. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. That's who we are, a blessed people. Paul writes, "Blessed be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ." People who fail to realize this will continually feel insecure, not praising God for all the good things that they already possess in Christ. The world sees us as poor, naive, perhaps ill-equipped. But we who are in Christ and find our identity in Him can be confident that we can do everything through Christ who gives us the strength and power. Setting out from Hamburg, Germany one day to give a concert in London, violinist Fritz Kreisler had an hour before his boat sailed. He wandered into a music shop near the pier where the proprietor asked to see his violin. Well, the proprietor then vanished and returned with two policemen. And one of them told the violinist, "You're under arrest." "What for?" The policeman said, "You have Fritz Kreisler's violin." "I am Fritz Kreisler." "Oh, you can't pull that one on us. Come along to the station." Well, as Kreisler's boat was sailing soon, there was no time for prolonged explanations, much less a trip to the station, so Kreisler asked for his violin, and he played a piece that he was well known for. Then when he finished, he asked, "Now, are you satisfied?" And they were. Have we taken on our identity in Christ enough that people will be satisfied calling us Christians? We who are in Christ are holy and blameless, having been chosen in Him before the foundations of the world. Believers who do not realize their identity in Christ will live with a gnawing sense of guilt, feeling that they have to earn their forgiveness. They have to earn their acceptance and belonging through good works. Accepting our identity as Christians, we who are in Christ have been adopted as His sons and daughters, deserving all of the privileges of being in His eternal family. In Ephesians, Paul writes, "He predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will." Now, John Wesley clarifies this idea of election and predestination. Neither take place outside of Christ. Rather, God knew in advance that humanity would believe and foreordained that in Christ they would be saved to the uttermost and conformed to God's image. They were not predestined to believe, but rather as believers. God had a wonderful design for us in Christ as part of God's overall purpose to unite the whole of creation under the singular headship of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The world thinks we're haughty, thinks we're high-minded, perhaps exclusive, not realizing that we are a part of Christ's family while they remain in the family of the evil one. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are of the father of the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. He is the father of lies." Well, we no longer have to be slaves of sin as we are set free through the blood of his cross. Too many believers are living under the stress and strain and imprisonment of sin since they do not appropriate their new identity in Christ. They don't accept it. They don't take it on. We who are in Christ live primarily for the praise of His glory. Our greatest purpose and joy and sense of fulfillment comes through pleasing the Lord in all respects. Carnal believers, secular believers, those who think in terms of their humanness think that their great purpose is gained through their own selfish satisfactions. And yet Paul wrote, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." As we praise God for His attributes, we are infused with a greater nearness of His dearness and splendor. He fills us up with every good thing. Peter wrote, "Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and goodness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by his own glory and excellence, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world by lust. We expose our identity as Christians when we who are in Christ enjoy being eternally redeemed, purchased, bought back from the condemnation through his blood. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of God's grace. Many people fail to replace their anger, hurt, pain, fear, feelings of rejection. They fail to replace those with the rich grace that is found in the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Many Christians need to learn how to replace their anger and jealousy and wrath and fear and feelings of pain. Replace them for the compassion, encouragement, affection, and consolation of love and fellowship of the Spirit found in Jesus Christ. We who are in Christ are equipped with great wisdom and insight, which, Paul says, he has lavished upon us. We can praise God as he generously gives wisdom and knowledge and discernment to believers who ask him for wisdom needed to accomplish his will. In contrast, the world might think we are merely pretending to be something that we are not because they see what we're doing as foolish. Some people have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. In other words, they are faking and shaking, and it causes a detrimental effect on the entire body of Christ. We who are in Christ have an understanding into the mysteries of God's will. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in Christ. People who are growing in their identity in Christ see the church. Let me go back. People who do not find their identity in Christ see the church as a social club where people get together to put on a show with various hairstyles and entertaining music. Many folks assume that Christians assemble just to share their ideas about how they are, well, superior to everybody who does not attend church. Fortunately, those who are growing in Christ gain a greater insight into the way of the Lord is carrying out his broader will for the earth, for the church, as well as for our own personal lives and enrichment. We can praise God for increasing our ability to pray like Paul. This, I pray that your love would abound still more and more in real knowledge and depth of insight. Why? So that you may discern what is best, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise. General William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, was asked the secret of his amazing Christian life. And Booth answered, "You know, I told the Lord that he could have all that there is of William Booth." Do we have an identity in Christ that will allow us to say and for people to believe, "Lord, you can have all there is of Mark Werner"? Who are we in Christ? We who are in Christ have obtained an inheritance in Christ so that he now works out all things according to his purpose, both to want and to do of his good pleasure for the working out of his will. Even though the world thinks that we are fanatics and extremists or second-class simpletons, we can be assured that he is working out his will through us, because we are the rich inheritors of His nature. We are the rich inheritors of His power. We are the rich inheritors of His Spirit. We're not renegades, but instead we are people who are merely doing the will of our Heavenly Father, seeking to give Him glory, love Him with all our hearts, and trying to fulfill Christ's great commission. We who are in Christ have been brought under Christ's authority, under His protection and responsibility. And this is His plan, Paul wrote. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Many people think Christians weak and shy and intimidated, but instead those who appropriate their identity in Christ can be strong. We can be bold in the authority that they are given in the name of Jesus, in the Word of God, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We who are in Christ have been given the Holy Spirit. Many people think that they are the product of their own thinking, their own effort, and their own family background. Instead, Spirit-filled believers need to see themselves as empowered, equipped, and enabled by the power of their resident Holy Spirit. We gain our identity from who we are in Christ through the educating abilities of the Holy Spirit. He sanctifies us. He teaches us and comforts us with His sufficient grace. If our identity is in Christ, we are His workmanship. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that He planned for us long ago. Thank God that He is still working in us to be more conformed to the image of His dear Son. He works all things together for good so that we might be like the Master, Jesus Christ, emotionally, mentally, as well as spiritually. We who identify ourselves in Christ share in Christ's promises that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Everyone has the opportunity. And as a result, we are made His ministers. Not only do we enjoy all the promises in Christ, but we are privileged to be His ministers and representatives. The secular Christian, or almost Christian as Wesley would define him, cannot begin to appreciate the blessings of being a disciple maker, a leader, a reproducer, and a multiplier. They can't appreciate that until they ascend to the higher levels of ministry maturity, fruitfulness, and productivity. Suffering from terminal spine cancer at the age of 47, former North Carolina State basketball coach Jim Valvano spoke with a reporter. He looked back on his life and he told a story about himself as a 23-year-old coach at a small college team. He says, "Why is winning important to you?" the players asked me. And I told him, "Because the final score defines you. You lose, you're known as a loser. You win, you're known as a winner." Well, the players were a little smarter than he. They said, "No, participation is what matters. Trying your best, regardless of whether you win or lose, that's what defines you." Well, it took more than 24 years of living. It took the coach bolting up from the mattress three or four times a night with his t-shirt soaked with sweat and his teeth rattling from the chill of chemotherapy and the terror of seeing himself die repeatedly in his dreams. It took all of that for him to say it. "You know, those kids were right. It's effort, not result. It's trying. God, what a great human being I could have been if I had been aware of this back then." So the question for today and this week and this lifetime is, who are you? What do you believe? And are you living it out? Are you really Christ-like people and trying to be like Jesus? Do you really believe that people can be transformed and changed? Do people see your identity in Christ? May the Lord help you continue to grow in Christ as you fully realize and appropriate your true identity in Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.